2 Timothy, if you would, please, chapter 3. And once you find your place, you can stand out of love and respect for the Word of God once again tonight. I'm going to kind of close out this idea of being, of our commitment to the Bible, which is some practical things. And these are all things you already know, but I want to reinforce them to you tonight. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse 10, I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Paul tells Timothy, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." The Bible has got to be what we trust, okay? By the way, we've talked about this, and I want you to understand, I'm not against commentaries, but those are man's words, all right? Some of them are, if you will, spot on, but some of them are a little bit wacky, okay? Because you know what? You think about it. When you first read something or you get an impression on something, a lot of times it has to do with your prior experiences. That's why the Bible says in Peter that the Bible is of no private interpretation. Because we all have different ideas about stuff, okay? We all have different suppositions, and we all have different things that are implanted in us through the experiences that we've had in life, and that's going to taint what we believe. Very soon, I hope the Lord lets me do this. I think he will. But I'm going to get really in depth in the area of music pretty soon. And I want you to understand something. I told this to a friend and they didn't really believe me. But I want you to think about this. One of the reasons why I like to stick to the old music is because, let's just say 100 years ago, okay? 100 years ago, there wasn't the media and the social media and the exposure to the rest of the world like there is today. All right? So I want you just to think about this. This has to do with the Bible. I want you to think about this. When I write a song, the melodies that go through my mind, the notes that come to my mind, or the things that I think of are going to be based on what I've heard. You know, in the past, when a musician would write, he'd hear a bird singing. So that would be his melody that would come to his mind because that's what he heard. He heard a bird singing. He heard this singing. Can I just tell you something? If you're a composer and you're going to go about writing music, you're going to pull from your different experiences. Okay. I promise you this. In our world today, there's not a person who hasn't heard rock music. It's everywhere. And so I contend that much of the modern music is already tainted by rock music just because everybody's heard it. And it's, if you will, at the very least, all of the new music that's been written in the last 50 years has at least been influenced by rock music. Because people have heard those rhythms, people have heard those melodies, people have heard those note sequences, they're in people's minds. And whether or not they're trying to write rock-styled music, they're going to because they've been tainted by it. So that's why I want you to be careful. And again, this relates. Be careful with who you read after about the Word of God. Because they're tainted by the philosophies of this world. Because they are just men. Or women, if you will. Okay? So we've got to be careful. Let the Word of God stand for itself.
You've got to. It is of no private interpretation. You might hear things, and that's why I love, if you will, the King James Bible translation, because it went by more scientific methods rather than personal preferences. They use things like direct statement principle. Okay? In other words, a direct statement from here or from there helped them to understand what this should be translated by. Okay? Because that's what the Bible actually said, direct statement. Okay? They use contextual principles. In other words, does it make sense, this word being translated, because of the whole body of work? By the way, don't ever interpret the Word of God by single passages or single words or single verses or single parts of verses. It has to go contextually. And then there was the etymological principle that they used in translating the Bible. In other words, the actual meaning of the words. All right? By the way, that's one of the criticisms people say about the King James Bible is the italicized words. No, that's a criticism. It's not a valid criticism, but it's a criticism. Okay, did you understand there is a difference between Greek and English? Wow. That's amazing. Okay, now, let me just tell you something about the Greek language. And I don't know everything about it, but I know enough about it to know not to want to speak it. Okay, here's the thing. The Greek language is a very full language where one word actually means several things or several words worth, all right, in our English language. So the reason why they had to put those italicized words was to make sure they gave the sense of what the Greek word was trying to say, because one English word wouldn't do it. They needed a whole bunch of English words to give the sense of the one Greek word. Hence, the italicized words, okay? And so, that's a bogus complaint. So, I want to tell you that there was an etymological principle, and that's what they used to help us interpret the Bible. Now that we have the Bible, and this thing about the Bible settled, and we're going to be committed to it, we need to do something about it, okay? This is where it's going to be practical. We're going to be quick tonight, but I want to just be practical about the Bible, because here's the key. If we say we're going to be committed to the Bible and then don't do, then we're just like it says in James, where we're just hearers of the word only and not doers of it. Okay? We need to be more than just hearers, or we need to be more than just say, I believe the Bible. I'm committed to the Bible. Okay? Because all that is this. Unless it is backed up by this. Okay? Faith without works is dead, being alone. You say I have faith, right? I'll show you my faith by my works. So let's show our commitment about the Word of God by what we do with it. That's the bottom line. So guess what number one is? Got to read it. Okay, last time I checked, this thing was called a book. Okay, how many of you, I probably saw this poster sometime in the early 90s. So that excludes this corner right here. All right. In my local library, my school library at school, there was a poster of Garfield the Cat. How many of you have seen this poster? Of Garfield the Cat. And Garfield the Cat had books tied to his body. Right? On his legs. How many of you saw this poster in your school library? Amen. Good. I'm not that old then. Oh, amen. Okay. And you know what? He said, I learned by osmosis. Yes. Wouldn't it be nice to go to bed at night and just, you know, and you just grow spiritually because, you know, the Word of God is pressed against your ear and it's great. You know, no, you got to read it. Read it. You know one of my favorite verses is Nehemiah 8:8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. I love that passage. I mean, Ezra and the guys are up there, and Nehemiah's taking care of all this stuff. And boy, wow. They gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Folks, we've got to read carefully. And you know what? We need to read with sense and understanding. Hey, listen, I'm glad you take out your reading schedule. And I'm glad you go through and you say, lo, mine eye has seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What you know, the same do I also know. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. You know, you read along. This is Job 13, by the way. And you just read along, and you don't comprehend any of it. But read to get the sense. Read to understand. Again, tattletale time on myself. There have been times where I sit down to read the Bible, and I read the Bible, and then I stop. And I'm like, I did not understand any of that. Because, you know why? Because I was thinking about something else. That's how my brain is. I gesaltered, even in thought. Okay? My thoughts gesalter. That means jump from one horse to another, okay? And so, gestalting is jumping from one squirrel to another. And so, so you understand that I read, and I sit down to read. I intend to read, but my mind betrays me. I know none of your minds betray you when you're reading the Bible, right? You guys are like pure focus, aren't you? You don't even need blinders. Yeah, I didn't think so either. But you know what? So what? Here's what I do. I have to make myself do this. I'm like, I did not even think about any of those words. I need to read it again. And I have to make myself, because I'm a distracted person. All right? So I have to make myself not get distracted. And I have to actually have to think about what these words are and what God's trying to say to me. And just like in Nehemiah, I need to get the sense, I need to read distinctly, I need to understand the reading. That's so important. And by the way, that's called comprehension. I was not very good at reading comprehension tests because I have distraction issues, okay? I get distracted, and I'm my own biggest distraction. And so I have that problem. But that's what it means to read the Bible. I don't just mean reading all the black words on the white pages, but actually getting the sense of it, and that's being committed to it. Oh yes, I want you to commit to reading your Bible every day and check those boxes off on those lists and everything, but read it to get the sense of it, to understand it, to know it. But we got to read it. And then, beyond reading it, and beyond understanding what you're reading, comprehension, we need to study it. Study it. In other words, when you're going through and you say, wow, that's interesting. Is that the only place that God talks about this? Right? Now, I'm going to recommend to you my favorite study Bible. That's this one. It's called the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. All right. Now, I like it because it's not based on opinion. All right. It's just simply a chain reference system. So like here we are in Job chapter 13. And next to this thing where it says, lo, mine eye has seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. So next to it, it says understanding 38:48. So I go back to my little thing and I can go to 38:48 and I can see all the places where the Bible talks about understanding. That's called studying, right? And I can go down a little further. And remember, it says here, but ye all forgers of lies. Well, I can go over here and it says 37:04, lying. All right, and I can study about all the forgers of lies and lying in the Bible, and it'll help me study that. Now, you can do this, of course, with some online technology or Bible app and things. That'll be faster, but that's fine. Hey, how about this? Get yourself a Strong's Concordance. Find out what those Greek words are. Find out what those Hebrew words are. Find out what tense they are and what, you know, thing they are and what depth they have. And it's kind of cool. That's called studying. Going beyond just comprehension, but actually peeling back the layers and looking into what God has in the Scriptures. We need to study the Word of God. We know that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're supposed to study. You understand that God wants us to study His word. All right, next one. Not only do we need to read it and study on it, we need to meditate upon it. Now, I could take it to several places in Psalm 119, but just go quick to Psalm 1. All right, Psalm 1. And there's so many verses about meditation. But I want you to look at this, and I want you to see what it says in verse 2. David says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Okay, so this is the man that is not going to walk in the counsel of the godly, that is not going to stand in the way of sinners, that is not going to sit in the seat of scornful. He's going to delight and he's going to meditate day and night in the Word of God. What will be his reward? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who will? The one who meditates in God's Word. Now, meditation is not just musing or thinking about it, okay? It is actually a thought process that you go through, meditation, where you cycle these things through your mind, where you think about them, but also reckon upon them, and you make them part of your philosophy. Okay? Meditation. Meditation is just one of those things where, if you will, it takes practice, but it also incorporates memorization. Because it's all happening here, in your mind. So guess what needs to be here in your mind? These words. All right? You know, the Bible tells us we're supposed to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against Him, right? And we're supposed to allow God's word to saturate our being. That means it needs to be in our thoughts. And a good way to say meditation is to mull things over, all right? To let them rattle around in the cavity between your ears here, okay? Let that gray matter gesalter thoughts back and forth, okay? I love that word. Brother Wilson introduced, if you don't, it's a great word, gesaltering, okay? And you bounce things around in your head and because you're absorbing it. You're taking it into you, and it becomes the very thoughts that you have. By the way, let's go back to the music thing for just a moment. I listened to a lot of bad music when I was a kid, a young person. I just did. And you know what? It's amazing how I go to Walmart, and I'm walking through Walmart, and I hear three notes of a song that I listened to 30 years ago. And I'm like, haha, I know that song. And I can sing every single word of it. And I hadn't listened to it for years, probably. I mean, intently listened to it for many years. But yet I remember it. And yet, we can't remember the Word of God? I mean, I know commercial jingles from the 80s. You know, and they say advertising doesn't work. Oh, it works. you know, it just, but I can't remember a Bible verse, for crying out loud. Huh? It needs to be our meditation all the day. Oh, how I love thy law, right? It is my meditation all the day. It needs to be. Hey, read it, study it, meditate on it, preach it. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. You know what? We need to preach to others. You know, by the way, we're all supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. Well, how am I going to preach to them something I don't know about? So that means I have to know about it. Now, along with this one is teach it. Preach it and teach it. In other words, let it come into you, rattle around in your brain, and then come back out to somebody else. See, don't be a dead sea. Don't just dump, and not let any of it come out. It's got to come out. And you know what? The Bible says we're supposed to be in a place of teaching others also. So we're supposed to, this is supposed to be perpetuating. So we're supposed to take in, and we're supposed to give out. And we're supposed to take in, and we're supposed to give out. And the giving out part is preaching and teaching. And we've got to be, if we're going to be committed to the Word of God, we've got to take it in. We've got to study it. We've got to meditate upon it. We've got to memorize it. But then we need to give it out. We need to preach it, and we need to teach it. It has to be part of who we are. Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He told them to go everywhere teaching the word of God. The Great Commission over in Matthew 28. Many of you have it memorized, right? How the Bible tells us we're supposed to be teaching them all to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So what does that take? That takes study. That takes meditation. That takes memorization. It takes knowing something, right? To be able to give it out. I tell my teachers all the time, the best way to learn is to teach. That's why I love the kind of thing we do in our homeschooling situation. We can do this because we have multiple students. But I have the older ones teach the younger ones. You say, oh, you're just trying to be a lazy parent. No, I'm not. Because the older ones teaching the younger ones helps the older ones learn. It does. It's a proven fact. And listen, I can tell you it's a proven fact because I learned English better once I became a teacher of English. I learned math better once I became a teacher of math. Hey, guess what? I learned the Bible better because now I'm a preacher and teacher of the Word of God, if you will, in a full-time capacity. So now I know the Scriptures better. We're supposed to preach it and teach it. But all of this is in vain, and our commitment is in vain if we don't believe it. Now, this thing of believing the Word of God is directly attached to what we do and what we say. How good is someone, or how influential is someone who says and doesn't do? Right? Because you've heard people say that, right? Well, do what I say, not what I do. And I say to them, ha ha ha, yeah, right. We're not going to, are we? But what do we, if someone who says and then does, then we're like, oh, that's real. Do we want the Word of God to be real to people? Then don't be a hypocrite. And I'm telling myself this too, okay? I'll look in the mirror and tell myself because I can be hypocritical too. But doesn't it help in our commitment to the Word of God if we say it and do it? Because that really says, I believe it. I believe it. You understand that Paul in his life lived his belief in the scriptures. He did. Everywhere he went. And guess what? Everybody saw what he believed. Well, they didn't hear what Paul believed. They saw what Paul believed. And that's what I'm trying to get to us to understand, is that people need to see what we believe, not just hear what we believe. And that goes back to what James says, that we need to be hearers of the word and not doers only. Oh, let's see, just two more. And along with this thing of belief, in order to be committed to the word of God, we need to obey its precepts and commandments. We have to be obedient. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And so we've got to understand that the word of God has to be our all in all. And so if I'm really going to be committed to God, and then, of course, paramountly, we need to make sure we use it to win others to Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, this will be our closing passage tonight. I'd like to give you a little bit of hope. Romans 10, it only has 21 verses, and you know how long it takes me to get through 21 verses. A couple of months. All right? But this thing of belief and obedience and preaching and teaching, I hope you understand that they're all connected together. But they all have to do with our commitment to the Word of God. Look what Paul says here in verse 11. Now let's look at let's go back here a little bit. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All right? I hope that's happened in your life. The born-again process. He goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That passage is so critical and so important to our belief system, right? And the things that we hold to and hold dear to, including the Great Commission. You have to understand that Paul says we have got to be committed to the Word of God. It is the source of all things, including the very life we live from day to day. Reading and understanding, making sense of what we read, studying what we read, meditating upon what we read, preaching and teaching what we read, believing, not only by saying, I believe, but living, I believe. Obedience is part of that. Obeying his precepts and commandments. And then winning others to Christ, if you will, perpetuating the kingdom of God because of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible tells us to exercise our faith. How are we going to do that without the Bible? We've got to be committed to the Word of God.